This podcast is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For more than 20 years, Premier's expert surgeons have helped thousands of East Tennessee patients in the fight against breast cancer.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. And our guest right now, I don't know how he gets everything done that he gets done in a day because he's literally everywhere. He is one-third of the three-man front there. Their show is 10 to 2 Central Time there in Birmingham, WJOX 94.5, and he also covers Alabama for The Athletic. That is Aaron Suttles. Aaron Suttles on Twitter. Suttles, good morning, man. How you doing?
What's up, Swain?
Man, how scared is Alabama this week, man? Are they pretty worried about Tennessee after Tennessee beat Auburn? I know they're pretty worried.
I don't know that worries the right word. They're probably they want to send Tennessee a bottle of wine for knocking off Auburn. They always appreciate that.
Well, I heard that the Bama fans and the Bama players, maybe some of the older Bama fans would disagree, but you know they treat Auburn as their bigger rival than Tennessee, and I understand that. I'm not offended at all. I totally get it. They're right there in the same state. That's a bitter rivalry. We've seen some really unfortunate. Violent cases come from this rivalry and change people's lives forever. So I totally get it. I totally understand. Did Tennessee's game against Auburn, like seriously, kind of maybe make them maybe respect Tennessee a little bit more or prepare for them a little bit differently than they have in the past?
I think they respect Tennessee right now for one reason, and that's because they really like Jeremy Pruitt, and they respect the kind of football coach that Jeremy Pruitt is. And when you look at Alabama now, and I'm sure it's the same way at Tennessee, so many of these players are coming from out of state. Alabama recruits nationally, and some of their best players aren't from this state. They don't know the history of the rivalry. And when they look at it during their lifetime, they can say, well, you know, Auburn beat Alabama in the kick six. Auburn beat Alabama in the comeback. Auburn beat Alabama last year. So they look at that and they say, well, that's more of a rivalry. And they don't really see that from Tennessee until they get indoctrinated into the program. But, you know, I think a lot of people around Alabama in that program respect the hell out of Jeremy Pruitt and the kind of person he is and the kind of football coach he is. And I think last week was a prime example that if he gets things going, that he's going to get Tennessee turned in the right direction.
I know Pruitt is like, you know, their favorite son because he grew up as a Bama fan, he played at Alabama, and he's been so great as an assistant and as a coordinator. But at some point, that little love is going to wear off. You know, if Tennessee starts to threaten Alabama a little bit, then I'm pretty sure this will turn back into a rivalry. This has been really weird for me, Aaron, because you know I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. I came here to Tennessee, and that was a messy situation with the NCAA and all that stuff. And, you know, I as a player, I hate Alabama. It's a bitter rival. And you have Coach Former now back as AD, which is really weird. I know Bama fans hate him. And then he goes out, he hires Pruitt, which some people feel like could be the next coach after Nick Saban. It's just weird, man. Like, folks don't hate Tennessee that much because of Pruitt. I don't know if I like it or if I'm really comfortable with it. So, to be honest, man, I won't hate between these two teams.
I think it's coming back because, as you mentioned, Alabama fans hate Phil Fulmer, and they hate him with a passion.
Yes, they do.
I think it's coming back around, and all it takes is Tennessee to win one of these games, and that hate's coming right back. You don't hate the little brother that you beat up on in the backyard playing 21 or playing pickup basketball. I mean, you only start to dislike him when he gets a little taller and he starts blocking your shots, and he starts winning some of those games. So I think that's what it's going to take. I mean, you beat Alabama one time, and that hate's coming back. I mean, it's there under the surface simmering, and I think Philip Fulmer – and that video that surfaced out of the locker room last week where he's singing, you know, we don't give a blank about the entire state of Alabama, you start getting some more of that. And I think it spices this rivalry back up.
Aaron, let me stop you here because I know Charlie has to get in here and ask you a question, but let me just stop you. tell your Bama fan listeners and your followers that Tennessee has done that for decades. The only thing that's different is now there's phones and video in the locker room. It's not a big deal. It's kind of like when the Gumps down there cheer about beating the hell out of an opponent at the end of the game. They sing Rammer Hammer, Yeller Hammer, whatever. We just beat the hell out of you. It's the same thing, and no one is triggered, and no one gets mad. So tell them to simmer down a little bit. Go brush your tooth and relax.
Are they upset about that? Is anybody offended by that?
Yes, yes. I mean, the team who beats everybody, who wins all these national championships, and now they're triggered because Coach Fulmer's singing in the locker room. My goodness.
Listen, that's been going on a long time. Exactly. And we're some of these people coming up now are soft as Charmin. That's part of sports, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely part of sports is the back and forth, as long as it stays good-natured.
Yeah,
I mean, when it crosses the line, that crosses the line, but that's what sports is. It's what rivalries are. I mean, if you are offended by that, then you need to go watch badminton or something.
Oh, you're preaching, Aaron. I'm right there with you. But I want to ask you about Tua Tagovailoa. Oh, my goodness, that dude is putting up literally unreal numbers. The kid is absolutely incredible. But the question that I always have about Alabama quarterbacks, and I haven't had as much of this question about Tua, but is he a product of just being absolutely phenomenal, or is it also the players around him, you know, just being surrounded by six stars that helps too? Is he just this amazing?
Tua is that amazing. Now, some quarterbacks at Alabama, you know, I'm pretty sure any of the three of us could have thrown a pass to Amari Cooper, who's running wide open.
Yes.
Now, they might have looked a little uglier than others, but we could have completed a pass. What Tua is doing, and I don't like hyperbole because I don't want to take away from Tua. I've never seen anything like it. Tennessee's had great quarterback. They've seen it up close and personal with Tua Tagovailoa. But, guys, tell me an Alabama quarterback that Alabama fans have seen play live that's anywhere in the vicinity of Tua. It doesn't exist. I mean, you'd have to probably go back to the 60s with Snake and Broadway Joe. And most Alabama fans weren't alive to see that. And games weren't on television or in color, so they could have seen it. So this is new for Alabama. And when I tell you, so I forget who made the metaphor, the analogy, but most quarterbacks, if you take a door, and most quarterbacks want to aim to hit the doorknob, Tua can hit the keyhole. He's that accurate. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, look, the difference between him and Jalen Hurts is Jalen, and he's made tremendous improvement this year, too, with Dan Enos. But Jalen can complete a pass, but most likely there's going to be limited yards after the catch. Tua puts it on the right shoulder, away from the defensive back. He hits guys in stride. I mean, look at their number of yards after the catch. He's so insanely accurate that it's almost impossible to defend this team. If you want to try to hurry him up and blitz him, his decision-making is off the charts. And as you mentioned, he's got more weapons than maybe Alabama's ever had. By the way, good thing for Tennessee. It doesn't look like Devontae Smith is going to play, so that's one less the wide receiver you have to worry about. But you take all that into account, his decision-making, he's creative, he's accurate, and he's got a ton of weapons to throw the football to. I mean, it just makes it life very, very difficult for a defensive coordinator.
Yay.
Is there a matchup in this football game that you think Tennessee could find some success for? Because from the outside looking in, it doesn't appear that Alabama has very many weaknesses.
You know, I like what Tennessee did last week against Auburn. No, I mean, you want balance. You want some semblance of balance in your offense. But winning those one-on-one balls, and Alabama is going to play man-to-man a lot, and they're going to allow you to try to make some plays. I think JG did last week against Auburn, just those deep balls and those third down and winning those one-on-one battles as those receivers, you can do that. It's a relatively inexperienced secondary for Alabama. The problem is they've been pretty good. I mean, I think as a team, they're second in the nation in interceptions. They have 12, and 11 of those have come from their defensive back. So Savion Smith's the guy you might be able to pick on. If you go back and watch the Ole Miss game, it was DK Metcalf who beat him. On the first play of the game, Savion missed the jam at the line, and Metcalf ran by him for a touchdown. So And he's basically starting now because Trayvon Diggs is out for the season. So that's a matchup, you know, that Tennessee should have a lot of confidence in, because they had a lot of success in it last week. Try it again this week.
Well, I know Saban listens to guys like you, so you should tell Nick Saban there's really no reason to risk Tua. I mean, you got bigger fish to fry here. You got LSU in a few weeks. Why don't you rest him, make sure he's ready to go for this, you know, just title run? Why play Tua against Tennessee? It's kind of pointless, right?
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a trainer. If the guy can't do any more injury, it can't damage the knee any further, they're probably going to play him. You know, I think fans and guys like me and the media like to talk about, you know, why don't you rest him for so-and-so, you got a big game coming. I don't think coaches and competitors think that way. I don't think Tua's thinking that way. I don't think Nick's playing thinking that way. And I know you said this in jest, but it's been a big topic on our show, is would you play Tua this week? But by doing that, even thinking that way is so against what Nick Saban's all about, because in a way, if you think about it, that's disrespectful to Tennessee, saying that you don't have to go out and play your best with your best players to win that game. And Nick Saban is just anti-Saban from jump.
What's Saban's relationships with his former coordinators or former assistants that have went on to be head coaches? That whole deal with Kirby Smart, Nick Saban fighting over the transfer Smith, that didn't look fun. That didn't look like they would be exchanging Christmas cards anytime soon. Jeremy Pruitt leaves and he goes and takes Dominic Wood Anderson. Somebody Alabama wanted. What's the relationship like?
Listen, I don't know that anybody's close to Nick Saban. The guy's a robot. He's almost, in a sense, incapable of human emotion that we joke about. But listen, I think he respects guys who have been on his staff and done a really good job. And Jeremy Pruitt, I've said this from jump, I think Jeremy Pruitt was a better defensive coordinator than Kirby Smart. That's just my opinion and his personal preference. I like the way Jeremy is aggressive and he allows his players to go make plays. I think Kirby didn't do that enough at Alabama, which is why they started calling it third and Kirby on third down and long when offenses would pick up that first down. Wouldn't any coincidence that Jeremy Pruitt led the nation that year, his first year as defensive coordinator, Alabama scoring defensive touchdowns left and right? That's because he's putting his players in a position to trust them and go make plays. So, but Nick Saban has a tremendous amount of respect for those guys that have been on his staff in a long time, but I just don't think it's Nick Saban's way to cozy up to anybody. That man has football in his life and his immediate family. I'm not sure he has a whole heck of a lot else. So, and plus, he's pretty difficult to work for. So I'm sure Jeremy Pruitt has a lot of respect for Nick Saban, but I don't know that he wants to go hang out with him on an off-season Saturday.
Tosh Lapoy, how has he fared as Alabama's new defense coordinator? I know he's more known for his recruiting prowess, but hey, he's getting an opportunity to call a defense replacing Jeremy Pruitt. How has he been this year, in your opinion, and maybe what you've heard around the program?
Well, he's not Jeremy Pruitt, and that's taking nothing away from Tosh. Very few people are. I'm, as you guys might be able to tell, I'm a big fan of Jeremy Pruitt. I like what he's about, and I like how he coaches. So, but there's been a little drop off, and part of that I think starts at the middle linebacker position with Mac Wilson having to call the plays this year, and it just, you've seen too many screens from wide receivers being left unchecked or unaccounted for, running free down the sideline or tight end screens, and this guy's running wide open that you just never really see that much at Alabama, and part of that is, you know, Tosh and that teaching, and I think part of it is Mac not being real confident, real comfortable at times. So, but as I mentioned, the defense is pretty good. You know, I think the defensive line is getting better and better. And overall, I'd say he's average, but I don't think, and no one, I don't think, would it be fair to place this on him. I don't think he's Jeremy Pruitt yet. I don't know that he will be.
Aaron, how can people, man, follow you, the show? Stalk Cole Kublik a little bit there, listening to y'all. I love the Bama fans who get on Cole because he's an Auburn guy, but Cole's one of the best in the business. But how can people follow you, man, and follow your show?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Aaron Suttles, and the show is the number 3 man front.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thanks so much for the time, and really, really appreciate it. And we'll see what happens this weekend.
All right, guys, take care.
Hey, thank you.
Bye.
We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll be joined by Dave Bartu, CFB Matrix, who does an unbelievable job at putting together the numbers and creating analytics that help folks look at the game differently. Let's just say that. Look at the game differently and maybe make a little money, too, while they're watching the games. Hour 3, powered by Low T Center, lowtcenter.com. Stay with us. Dave Bartu joins us up next.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Do you want a custom-themed tumbler or bottle to show off your team spirit every day of the week? Well, look no further than Game Time Sidekicks. Every design has you, the fan, in mind. Their tumblers and bottles are double-walled, vacuum-insulated stainless steel, and their quality is second to none in the market. From stainless steel sippy cups to tumblers and sports bottles, Game Time Sidekicks offers something for the fan of all ages to rep their team with. They have many different logo options, so fans will have something they are proud to carry around all the time. Use promo code SWAIN at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase at GameTimeSidekicks.com. They also offer $5 flat rate shipping. Be sure to check out the Game Time Workshop on the website and customize your tumbler to make it one of a kind with things like your nickname, number, or initials. Game Time Sidekicks. Show your colors and carry your team.
Premier Surgical Associates is pleased to welcome Dr. Randy Reiser to its surgical practice. Dr. Reiser is board certified in general and vascular surgery and has treated patients in the Knox and Blount County areas for more than 20 years. Dr. Reiser is seeing patients at Premier Surgical's offices at Turkey Creek Medical Center, Paper Mill Drive, and in Maryville. For more information or to request an appointment with Dr. Reiser, please visit PremierSurgical.com right now.
Backed by popular demand, shop tax-free at Better Mattress during the month of October. Save hundreds of dollars store-wide. Better Mattress will pay your sales tax on any purchase. My Better Mattress has me sleeping better than ever, and it's handcrafted in East Tennessee, so I know it is made to last by good people who care about the quality of their work. Better Mattress makes it so easy to choose a mattress, you can get started right now. Visit bedrmattress.com and click on Mattress Prescription. Answer a few questions and they'll send you some options to start with. Plus, at Better Mattress, shoppers sleep worry-free. If you don't like it after 100 nights, they'll swap it out for you, and your Better Mattress will come with a 20-year warranty. Shop Better Mattress tax-free this month only. Good night, just got better.
At work, can call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Swain Event, we are joined by one of my favorite guests on the show, and I probably should have said that when Aaron Suttles was on, too. I mean, he's my favorite, too. It's kind of like having, like, more than one kid. They all your favorite. Hey, I love you. I love you, too. You're my favorite kid. You're my favorite kid. But really, you do have a favorite. And that favorite is Dave Bartu, because he's just freaking awesome. He's joining us early in the morning from Oregon. It's 6:20 where he's calling from. And, Dave, we are trying to identify fake Alabama fans who are bandwagon fans that may not know about Alabama football history before Nick Saban. We're trying to find our wins in this game, because it may not be on the field. We're finding other ways to win, Dave. How you feel about that?
You know the easiest question, okay, if you want to know if they're a fake Alabama fan or not, ask them how good their recruiting was before Nick Saban. Where were you nationally before Nick Saban? Okay? Because if they don't know, see, this is what a lot of people don't know. Everybody thinks, oh, it's Alabama, it's Nick Saban. Oh, they've been number one forever. Wrong. Okay? When Nick Saban took over Alabama, the average class at Alabama the previous 4 years was number 17 in the country. They were South Carolina, okay? And that wasn't that long ago. So if you're an Alabama fan, you should know that. Recruiting is a big enough topic now in college football. You should know that. You can't answer that question, fake fan.
We're going to send Ben on a field trip around campus on Saturday, and he's going to ask random Alabama fans trivia questions pre-Nick Saban. How do you think that's going to work out?
It's America. They ain't going to know nothing.
Exactly.
Ask him to spell Roll Tide. Start there.
Exactly. R-O-W-T. I don't know. How surprised are you that LSU beat Georgia over the weekend? I'm pretty sure that the Ed Orgeron coaching effect is not at the top of your list. What's your thoughts about that game?
No, it's not. But actually, the model projected a win by LSU.
Wow.
Not like that. Okay, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like that. Nobody predicted that. but it had LSU by 2.4 points. LSU's been playing great defense all season. And Orgeron, now don't get me wrong, Orgeron at Ole Miss, I mean, that is Charlie Weiss, chairman of the board level garbage that he had at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, you want to talk about an interview, is get Joe Oliva on and just say, please explain to me the decision paradigm to hire this dude after he sucked so bad at Ole Miss. Okay, how did you have the faith to get there? Other than blind luck because you're drunk on bad moonshine, I don't know how it happened, okay? I mean, there's nothing that said, yeah, you should hire this guy because he's a great risk, all right? So maybe he's still not a very good head coach, but I'll tell you one thing. Dave Aranda is top three minimum defensive coordinators in this country right now. And he is carrying that football team. It's all about the defense there. But somehow the offense is good enough to get it done. And, in fact, in the last 4 weeks, LSU's offensive scoring efficiency is number 10 in the country. It's becoming a kind of a badass team right now.
Well, Dave, so far I got a question about Tua Tennessee's coaches. How has Pruitt graded out for you so far? And then also specifically Tyson Helton, because he's a guy that a lot of Tennessee fans have questions about right now. Tennessee's offense has been so-so. Where do they rank for you?
Well, you know something, Pruitt, look at all the new head coaches so far this year. Outside of Dan Mullen, it hasn't been very pretty. In fact, it's been as ugly as I've seen. I haven't seen numbers like this since, like, 2008. It's a wacky college football season. So, you know, as far as head coaches go, the grade isn't solid there for them just because, you know, Coach Becker, I think, is sitting at -2. What I'm disappointed in is I thought the defense would be better. Okay? He's defense mind. I figured what would turn around first would be the defense, and it just hasn't been there. Okay, you've played, what, 5 FBS teams so far this year. The scoring efficiency is 96th in the country, or the defensive scoring efficiency is 96th in the country. And then when you compare the offenses they've faced, now they've faced a tough gauntlet of offense. All right, the average offense efficiency your defense has faced is 20th in the country. So it is a really tough schedule so far, but they're still performing below the offenses on defense. So, you know, if I'm grading the two, the offense versus the defense, I'd also grade the defense down a lot farther than the offense. Now, here's kind of the funky number, okay, because we just started working on these in the last week or so because we're trying to design a new way to look at strength of schedule and forecasting games. Now, Tennessee, it's funny, Tennessee's offense and defense are both 93rd in scoring efficiency. Here's the thing about Tennessee's offense, though. They have faced the second toughest defensive profile in college football this year. Okay? So, and then the interesting thing with that, even though you rank 93rd, okay, you face the second toughest defense. Your offensive scoring efficiency, and I know this is kind of hard to follow along this early in the morning, especially for me, but your offensive scoring efficiency is 27% higher than the average defense you're facing. Okay? So while the offensive numbers aren't good, they are well above the average defense they're facing, because the average defense of all they've faced is brutal. Number 2 in the country, you know, defense profile. The team, so that puts Tennessee, if you look at where they are ranked, above the defenses they're facing. That's 33rd in the country. That is one spot above Michigan. That is two spots above Virginia Tech. Okay? It's right below Wisconsin. It's right below Washington. So when I look at the offense, if you look at it in a vacuum on paper, you go, oh, the offense has been terrible, but you got to look at what they've been going up against. Heck, even defensively, it's one of the toughest schedules so far in college football this year. But offensively, they're actually performing above the defense way better than most of college football.
Would you call that a moral victory, Dave?
That is absolutely a moral victory. Damn right it is.
No! I'm melting!
Oh, dude, this is Participation Trophy 101, baby. Everybody's happy.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. I look at Chip Kelly, man. He's 1-5. Scott Frost is 0-6. And these dudes were talked about as taking over huge programs, and everyone wanted them. I know Tennessee fans definitely wanted Chip Kelly and maybe Scott Frost. I know I would have liked to have a dude like Scott Frost. I think he's exactly what Tennessee needed at the time, a genuine dude who can coach. And I think Tennessee got that with the better recruiter. But Dan Mullen has been able to kind of have success as a first-year coach coming over from Mississippi State. What about some of the other first-year coaches around the country, Bartu, and how they fared this season? We know Frost and Kelly have stunk it up, but what about the other guys?
Well, you know, when I got up earlier this morning, I was trying to talk to all the security detail for Willie Taggart at his house, and they've been extremely busy and had no shot of getting a hold of Willie.
Yeah.
So he hadn't done too good either.
No. He couldn't wait to leave your state a couple months ago.
Oh, man. Dude. I'm telling you, Willie Taggart stinks. I'll just hang my. You know everybody says, hey, what hill do you want to die on, dude? I've been dying on the Willie Taggart stinks hill for a long time, and I still say it's one of the worst hires in college football. But you know, you look at all the other guys. Chad Morris, the offense has been okay. He made a disastrous choice in his defensive coordinator, but I don't trust Chad as a head coach. He didn't do anything but below average. At Southern Miss. Joe Moorhead's gotten off to a decent start. You know, first-year head coach, Mississippi State. He's just going up against a bar of expectations that was just ridiculous. And those folks down there are like, yeah, we're going to lose our best coach of all time, and we're going to get better.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have what that guy's drinking.
Yeah.
You know, so it's outside of Mullen, nobody has a positive coach effect. And for a first-year head coach, having a positive coach effect is tough. I mean, we can, no matter who it is, no matter how good they are, I think we would agree that you're going to expect the program to take at least a step, small step back, if not a big one, when you have a new head coach. Then you start throwing in some freshman quarterbacks, and then it all goes to hell. So one of the other positives I try to look at, so this is one of the things that concerns me about Chip Kelly, just slightly, okay? I think Chip's going to turn it around. You already see the progression in their offense and defense so far this year. I can feel it coming. They're going to beat USC in the in the USC rivalry game, and then all hell's going to break loose on Helton over there. So the thing that concerns me, though, about UCLA is just where they're recruiting at right now. You look at all the other new head coaches, and even if the record is down, the team's not doing well, the next thing I look at is, are they still getting the players they're supposed to be getting? Are they still recruiting at the level that program expects? And everybody's there except UCLA, and we all know Chip hates recruiting, and it'll probably turn itself in the end. But everybody else, Florida State, Oregon, Tennessee, Mississippi State, even Arkansas, they're all recruiting where they're supposed to be. So, overall, the season, in a nutshell, short term may not be that great, but going forward, the talent's still coming in, and for a lot of these programs and fans, what you're just looking for is, am I seeing positive progression on the offensive and defensive efficiency side going into 2019?
Bartu, I know you are not a Willie Taggart fan, but you got to feel sorry for him a little bit. I'm looking at the remaining games for Florida State. They play a well-coached Wake Forest team, Dave Clawson. They play number 3 Clemson at Clemson. No, at home. They play at NC State, who's ranked 16. Clemson's third. They play at Notre Dame, who's fourth. Then they play BC, and then they play Florida at home. Willie Taggart's in trouble, man. This is ugly.
Yeah, well, I can think about 5 million reasons a year that I don't feel sorry for him.
Yeah, well.
you know, yeah. You reap what you sow. Actually, here's one of his biggest problems is his damn mouth. He won't shut up. I mean, seriously, this is a guy that told the fan base this is going to be a quick turnaround. Really? You're going to say that before you even play a game? You know, did your mama ever say, under promise and over deliver? You don't do it the other way around, boy.
He should have said it takes 7 years to build a program. I heard that.
Oh, man, I'd be throwing everything under the bus. Every coachism I could. Cupboard Bear, Jimbo Fisher, the culture, Jimbo Fisher. But I'd have thrown it. I mean, Jimbo Fisher should have like 80,000 bus marks on his back right now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And everybody should be good. Yeah, he should have just buried it down as far as he could and made people think that it was right near the bottom. Guess what? You are near the bottom. You just expected something else.
Yeah, you are. What about, speaking of bus marks, what about Gus Malzahn? Looks like the Auburn fans want to run him over.
Shoot, is his house still standing?
He just signed a contract extension a couple months ago, Dave. I mean, what are they going to do?
I don't get that. Well, that's the first thing. You know something? The athletic director who signed that, I don't know the situation, but, you know, something from way out here, when you hear, oh, Gus Malzahn wants to go to Arkansas, I'm the athletic director. I'm like, dude, go for it. You want to go from Auburn and the ability, the potential to win a national title to Arkansas, which is the worst recruiter in the entire division? You want to go from here to there? Knock yourself out, bro. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. Why do these ADs at an elite program with a big brand worry about a guy going somewhere else? Heck, it's just like Pruitt. It's no different. There was a ton of articles saying, hey, if Pruitt gets Tennessee to where Tennessee wants it to be, he's going to be a hot commodity. Dude, if Pruitt gets Tennessee where fans want him to be, they're winning a national title. Why would he go anywhere?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, you know, that's a done deal like people think. I think he's going to be here for a while. Remember, Dave, Auburn didn't have an AD because Jay Jacobs was stepping down. So I think there was a time and place where, like, they didn't have an AD. I think the president kind of made some moves to keep Gus Malzahn, which he may be under the fire now, too, because that's a huge buyout. All right, Dave, so I'm looking at around college football this weekend. We got some good games now. I'm an SEC guy, so I'm not going to be turning to Michigan and Michigan State. But it's a matchup between two top 25 teams. You know, creeping up on everyone is Michigan. They're sixth in the country. Looks like Jim Harbaugh has his quarterback stabilized, and they're moving a little bit. I don't think people are taking Michigan serious until they beat Ohio State, but it is a top 25 matchup. How are you looking at this game?
You know, so number one with Michigan, their numbers year to date aren't stellar. They're not top 15 and on either side of the football. Yeah, they've been progressing pretty good. And Michigan State, I mean, this was a bottom 25 offense last year. It's still a bottom 25 offense. I don't really I'm not too excited about this football game. I think it's going to be all defense in this one. I got it right now. I got it a 23-19 football game for Michigan. I think they're going to win and cover in this one. But I think it's going to be low scoring based on the numbers so far. Even looking at their last 4 weeks, I mean, Michigan, their offensive scoring efficiency right now is 39th in the country. So yeah, they may have a quarterback, but I'm not too high on the offensive coordinator, and I'm really not too high on their talent. They're still a mid-level recruiter that Harbaugh somehow hasn't been able to turn the corner there. But this should be a great football game. I do think it's going to be closer than people expect, but I'm on the underside at 41 points as well.
So I'm going to take a look at another top 25 matchup, and then I want to come back to the SEC. You have NC State on the road playing Clemson. Both teams are undefeated. I might watch this one. I got some people we know from Knoxville to play for Clemson, so there may be a reason to watch Clemson. Clemson is favored at 17.5 points. That's a huge line for two undefeated teams, and the over-under is 56, according to ESPN.com. What is going on in the mind of Dave Bartu?
Well, first of all, with NC State, this is a program that's taking advantage of a window of opportunity. Okay? You have Florida State down. You have Louisville down. You got some of these other teams in the ACC that are down, and NC State's kind of jumping through this window. The ACC, offensively, if you look at the ACC profile, their offense is atrocious. It was atrocious before they started conference play. It hasn't gotten any better. So you look at NC State, you go undefeated. Wow, look at that defense. Yeah, but the average offense you're playing is ranked 113th in the country. Kind of the same thing for Clemson. Clemson has the easiest schedule compared to their talent in all of college football. But 17.5 is a ton of points. I got this thing modeled as... Oh, worst-case scenario or best-case, depending on your point of view, I'm looking at like a 31-24 football game, 31-23 football game in favor of Clemson. Neither one of these offenses really light it up for me. I think it's going to be a defensive lean. Do you know what the total is on that thing? It's probably around 55.
56 on ESPN.
Right, I'm at 53.9. So I will, from a betting standpoint, which everybody loves talking about too, we'll take NC State to cover. And a lean on the under, as both of these teams are strong defensively.
Yeah, I think I'm going to write this one down. So, I mean, just taking notes, Dave. No reason. No reason.
Oh, no. Look at this. I got every game like this. I could do this every game. I think it's going to be a 26-point total at halftime as well. And watch NC State to come out ahead early. I think the game is going to go in NC State's favor early, maybe a 14-10, 14-13 halftime lead.
Just taking notes.
And then in the third quarter, that's when Clemson's going to explode and take control of the game.
Just taking notes, Dave. Just taking notes. No reason.
What about in your neck of the woods? Is Mike Leach going to pull off an upset of the Mighty Ducks?
Mike Leach is pretty dang dangerous. At all times. I mean, he's one of the best coach effect guys in all of college football. And this one, though, look, Oregon has a talent advantage. They have the best player on the field in Herbert. I expect Oregon to get out to a strong start. This is a 21-17 kind of halftime score. Playing at Washington State, though, I mean, it is truly the middle of nowhere. The modeling on this one, I got this one 34-30 Oregon. Don't expect the defenses to show up. These defenses have played a huge group of bad offenses, and their defenses still aren't very good. If you want a lot of points scored, I think I'm going to be low on 34-30 Oregon. I think it's going to be a lot more than that personally. But that's where the model is with that. I think Washington State opened as the favorite in the football game, too. I think they were -2 to open it. So yeah. I really like Oregon to win and cover in that football game.
Yeah, Washington State is -3 right now, again, according to ESPN. Mississippi State goes on the road to play LSU. I guess this is the Dak Prescott Bowl. Dak wanted to play at LSU growing up, and they didn't want him, so he goes to Mississippi State, and he comes back and he beats LSU. What are you seeing in this game? LSU is a 6.5-point favorite, and the over-under is at 45. LSU coming off a big-time win against Georgia.
Yeah, I like LSU covering that football game. Right now, remember I just mentioned a little bit ago, 4-week moving average on LSU. Their offense scoring efficiency is 10th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Mississippi State's 123rd.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of offense on the Mississippi State side, especially against going up against that Aranda defense. But the Mississippi State defense has been, that's what's carried them this year. You know, everybody says offense and Fitzgerald and this, that, and the other. Well, offense has been atrocious the last 4 weeks. The defense has kept them in football games. The defense has won them football games. The model I got this one, though, is 27-14 in favor of LSU. This is one, I mean, you got a home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You have a big talent advantage. You have the better offense. You have the better defense. And all you're giving up is less than a touchdown. I really like LSU covering in this football game.
The game of the week, the most important game in the country, is Tennessee hosting Alabama. I said that with a straight face. Tennessee is a 29-point underdog. The over-under is 57. Do you think Tennessee covers? Hey, Pruitt, former coach at Alabama, you think Nick Saban says, okay, take it easy on you a little bit. Tua has a bum knee. Do you see Tennessee covering in this game, Dave?
they take it easy on everybody. They let a lot of people back into it. I mean, if you get both Alabama barrels, their first and second quarter offensive efficiency is number one in the country by far. It's ridiculous when Tua's in there. Defensively, I'd argue at least on paper, this is the worst defense Nick Saban's ever had at Alabama. that also means it's a top 15 defense can still be the worst defense Saban's had at Alabama. So that there's no happy participation trophy there. Mm. Look, this one models out. I got it 43-16, Alabama. So you're looking at 27 point differential there. So got to take Tennessee to cover the 29.5, and the total points I have is 58.7. Which is right near that line as well. So I'm not seeing that there's going to be a lot of opportunity betting in that one. So I think it's all pretty tight to the line, but, making a choice, I'll take the 29.5 points and Tennessee to cover that.
Hey, Dave, do you have a record of Alabama covering for the season? Because, yeah, they're good, they beat everybody down, but they do take the foot off the gas a little bit, and they don't cover late. Do you have a record of kind of how they fared so far this year?
No, I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I know they've gone back and forth. I was sitting in a sports book in Mississippi when they were
4-3.
I don't remember who they were playing. Like Louisiana Lafayette or Louisiana Monroe or something like that. And they were -40. And they covered that. I saw a dude put 10 grand down on that. I'm like, dude, really? You know? And
we're related.
They covered that.
We're cousins. Hey, cousin.
But then A&M, they did this, you know, they were what? I can't remember what they were. They were 27-point favorites against A&M, 20-point favorites against A&M. And in the fourth quarter, let them back into it to make it closer. So, you know, Alabama does take its foot off the gas. Offensively, they're 63rd in the country in offensive scoring efficiency, so they and 43rd in the third quarter. So they absolutely jump out to these big leads, take their foot off the gas. That's another reason why I think betting on a big spread like that, especially, I'm still saying, I think your offense at Tennessee is underrated, underappreciated because of the defenses they've faced this year. I think the offense is going to still struggle to score points, but it's a matter of the defenses they're facing. And again, this weekend, another top 20 defense. So,
Well, Dave, since I am a Patreon member of College Football Matrix, I'm going to go into my email and look for those stats and look for those numbers, because that would be great to have in the future for, you know, Tennessee Sports Talk. I'm going to do that because I am a supporter of Dave Bartu on a monthly basis there on Patreon.
Yeah, well, and you should have had your first email. The other day, breaking down all the numbers. That'll break down every single game, and then actually, I got a new one for you, dude. I'm going to send it to you today.
Okay.
I'm trying to design it for the playoff committee folks, and it's a bunch of whole new numbers you ain't ever seen at all. So I'll get that over to you today personally.
I can't wait. Alabama is 4-3 against the spread, correct, man?
According to ESPN.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, no surprise there. You know, they're all huge spreads, and they just keep bouncing back and forth. And I think 29.5. You're talking five scores. It's you know, it's above 28, and I got this thing modeled at 27.6. So, I'll stick on the cover lean, and then the total. What's the total on that thing?
Is it under 57.
Okay, so we're leaning over on that one as well. I mean, I got 57.5 and 58.7 in the modeling. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But don't be too down on everything, especially that offense. I think it's done pretty good given the circumstances this year.
One last question. I want you to share with us you know, CFB Matrix on Patreon, and kind of explain what people get and how they can support you. But one last question before we get there. And what is the pick of the weekend for you? The numbers spit out. This is the game that people should look at. This is the game that people should possibly wager on.
Well, I do like that LSU one. I mean, I hate to go back to it.
Yeah.
But 6 points, and I've got that thing modeled. Double-digit win. You have every matrix advantage that I love, okay? Except maybe coaching. But, you know, Orgeron versus Moorhead, whatever. You know, let's call it a wash right now.
Yeah.
You know, you have the best players. You have the home field. You got everything in your favor in that one. I like that. One, the other team to look at is FIU. Okay? And the reason I'm saying that, FIU offensively, I know last week they played a really close game, but they still covered that one. FIU's offense over the last 4 weeks, has at least three of the last 4 weeks, has been really good. And the lines they've been facing are pretty low. Now, I know they're facing Rice this week, and I have them by 20 in that football game. And that's kind of one of the fugly teams I like looking at. I like looking at teams that nobody talks about, that numbers have been good, and usually lines makers kind of ignore them. Do you got the line on that thing with Rice right now?
I'm looking it up right now, and it won't be long before you will be featured on Scott Van Pelt. They talk about those numbers and stuff like that from the weekend. It looks like – come on, here we go. Rice – by 1 point, and the over-under is 53.
Rice by one?
Rice by one, according to –
No, well, I see that FIU is 23.5 point favorite.
That's from last year.
Oh, sorry, last year. Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Rice has one win.
My bad. Reroute, Orange Barrel. I checked the chart wrong. My organizational chart lied to me. I'm sorry. That was from last year, 2017. Ben, what was the line this year?
23.5.
Even Dave was like,
we're right on top of that. Okay. So,
53.5.
So we are taking. Who are you taking in this one, Dave?
Oh, that's a tight line right there for me. 23.5. Ugh. No, I don't want to take Rice. Rice is horrible.
Yep. I messed that all up. Sorry about that.
Rice is really, really horrible. Now, you know me. I'm not a big, you know, lock of the week guarantee guy. I like throwing a bunch of stuff out there.
Gotcha.
But you hit on that LSU game. I mean, that is
– it looks good.
That's one of my favorite this week. You know, I got a few of them, but that one really embodies everything that I hold dear. Scoring efficiency, talent, home field, coaching. You know,
gotcha.
You got the best, you know, defensive coordinator. You got the best players. Your home field. You're only giving up a touchdown. And I know they're coming off the high of smoke in Georgia. But you know, this team's trajectory is not the same direction as Mississippi State right now. And so, you know, as long as it's under that one possession. I'm really good with that one.
Gotcha. All right, Dave. So how can people get your information? How can people get the same information that you kind of share on the show with the projections and analytics and the models that you guys create? How can people get access to this, and how can they support you? I mentioned Patreon. I use Patreon. Part of Swain Event Plus. You use Patreon for your followers, and I'm a subscriber to your Patreon, so I get all the stuff that you've been talking about. But how can other people get the same access?
Yeah, well, it's going onto Patreon and search for CFB Matrix, and it'll just pop right up, and there's different subscription levels, yeah, obviously, depending on how much information you want, what you want information about. Heck, I even do the NFL stuff every week. And post that if you're an NFL bettor and data junkie. So you got to kind of check out and see what's on there in terms of what you want. But the biggest takeaway that is, no matter where you subscribe at, you're getting some level of spreadsheets that I'm looking at every day.
Awesome.
You know, the stuff I'm looking at right now to do your show, people now get access to and can use for whatever. A lot of sports bettors, a lot of just crazy stat fans, and it's a great way for me to kind of show people what I'm looking at every day, and sometimes you come up with something new. Like this week, working on this strength of schedule, and this strength of schedule is going to also include Vegas expectations. You know, everybody's always saying, we need somebody on Vegas on the committee. Well, what we're going to do is try to get the Vegas numbers into the modeling so that people can see that as well. So that's something some of the Patreon members are going to be seeing this week, kind of outside the lines as we're working on the model for playoff folks to be able to look at college football a little bit differently.
My email, I got at 1:35 a.m., I got week 8 conference notes, stats, and previews. At 1:40, I got week 8 FBS depth charts. I got at 1:42 this morning, I got week 8 game notes. So you sent us 3 emails while I was counting the sheep this morning, and you were on the West Coast working. And so that's just a little bit of a little info on what you get when you are rolling with Dave Bartu. He's the best in the business. So, Dave, man, thanks so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate you getting up early to join us. I always have fun, and I look forward to the next time, buddy.
Take it easy, brother. Good luck covering this weekend.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. At CFB Matrix on Twitter. And you can follow him and follow his work and support him by going to Patreon and typing in CFB Matrix. And it pops right up. Just like Dave said.
His assessment of Tennessee was very interesting. Just talking about specifically the defense, what did he refer to it as, the defensive profile that Tennessee has faced so far being so difficult, and it actually indicates that Tennessee's offense hasn't been particularly bad. That's very interesting because obviously we've all been complaining about how bad it's been, and maybe Tennessee just needed to play teams with defenses that aren't so good.
Toughest defensive profile in the country, according to Dave Bartu.
It makes sense. West Virginia's defense was better than we expected. Florida's has turned out to be one of the best in the country. Not going to include ETSU or UTEP, but then Georgia's one of the best in the country. And then Auburn, I know Tennessee made them look silly on Saturday, but Auburn's defense was one of the best in the country heading into that game. I know their secondary was only allowing an SEC best 158 yards passing per game.
Well, I remember Chris Lowe specifically earlier in the season before we kind of figured out what Auburn has sort of become. I remember him saying that Auburn might have the best defensive line in America, period. He said it may be better than Alabama's, and that's high, high praise. And, of course,
It is better than Alabama's.
Yeah, well, sure.
Yeah, it is better. And Mississippi State's is supposed to be better than Alabama's, too. But, yeah, Auburn's defensive front was
– Auburn's problem is they've run into a lot of injuries. Quinn and Williams, though, their D-tackle is playing better than any defensive lineman in the country right now. I heard Greg McElroy on with Cole Kublik earlier this week, and Greg McElroy said that it was the most impressive defensive line performance against Ole Miss that he's ever seen. And that's high praise. And then Cole also thought his performance against Arkansas was one of the best defensive line performances he's ever seen. So Quinnen Williams going up against Jameer Johnson with a banged-up ankle injury, Nathan Niehaus, who's making his second career start, and Jerome Carvin, a true freshman.
It was an admirable effort.
No, Quinnen Williams plays for Alabama. So this weekend, that there. Yes, Auburn's front seven is better, but Alabama has suffered some injuries. I know Terrell Lewis, he's missed for the season. Chris Lowe alluded to that yesterday, but they've got some guys up front that nightmare matchups.
Yes.
We'll see what happens.
Alabama's struggling defense. It may look a little bit better against Tennessee's offensive line.
Struggling defense. Yeah, struggling as much as Alabama can.
Struggling defense.
Oh, yeah. But it was interesting also to hear from Aaron Suttles reflecting on something that he said, that under Tosh LePoy, the defense has taken a marked step back from where it was with Pruitt. That's something to note.
Tosh is a recruiter. Let's just say that.
It is important to note. Look at everybody they lost off that defense. Mika Fitzpatrick.
There's a lot of people.
A lot of defensive linemen at linebacker, corners, safeties. They lost a lot. And they've really been bit by the injury bug this season. So, yes, Tosh LePoy is not Jeremy Pruitt. That defense has taken an overall step back. But I would say that it's more because of kind of losing talent, injuries, rather than just Tosh LePoy just not being as good as Jeremy Pruitt.
Yep.
But
yeah, Tosh is a recruiter. He's not probably the best defensive coach. But Deron Payne that just lets you know how much of an animal he was for Alabama, because he's doing kind of the same things now with the Redskins. And the Redskins are one of the best defenses in the league, too. So,
yeah.
It starts up front, starts in the middle, and De'Ron Payne from Alabama is doing a really, really good job. I want to go to the text box and Facebook Live comments before we wrap up today's show. Blue Yellow Neon says, Swain over here checking that leftover Lyle chart with a laughing emoji. Yeah, I was looking at the wrong chart, man. I was looking at the wrong lines from last year. So that's why the awkward silence from Dave Bartu.
He was one shocked. Point. Rice is 1-6 this year.
What?
If Rice is a point favorite, bet that all day long.
My bad, man. My bad. I fell in a helmet last night. I have a concussion, and that's the truth.
Ed, go ahead. Well, I just Ed Parker. Do you think we really have a shot at going to a bowl game this year?
Is a pig's right butt cheek pork? Yes, I do.
Absolutely. And 100% serious. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you continue to play like you played against second half of Georgia or Auburn, if you play like that again on Saturday, doesn't matter if you win or lose, but if you play well, then you're going to play some teams who are not as good as Alabama and whose defenses are not as good as Auburn's, and you have a chance to win that game.
Right now, Tennessee has the same exact record, if I'm thinking correctly, same exact record as South Carolina, same exact record as Missouri. I was trying to look. Check me on that one.
I'll check it while you continue talking.
Yeah, everybody's 3-3. South Carolina 3-3. Tennessee 3-3. Missouri 3-3. And Vanderbilt is 3-4. They played 7 games so far.
Vanderbilt. We're better than you. We played an extra game.
And so you're right there with all of it. You're all in the same position. You're not behind. Who's to say you can't make a bowl game? Just win these games.
We all stink a little bit with a chance to not stink as much if we beat each other. Kind of.
Sure. Here's an interesting tidbit that I wanted to end on. This is something that I found during the show today that I was very interesting. The Business Insider calculated the NCAA average revenue by sport across the entire NCAA, and I want you to name the top 5 sports. I think you'll be surprised. There's one in here where I was like, whoa, really? So what do you think they would be? The top 5 sports by revenue in college sports.
Football.
Football's number one, $31 million a year on average for schools. Number two?
Basketball.
It is basketball, $8
million. Three, baseball.
Nope. It is not.
Soccer.
No.
Look, no.
I don't know if you're going to
get it. Women's basketball?
Nope. I was
golf.
Shocked.
Rowing.
Nope.
Swimming.
Nope.
DN.
Men's ice hockey is number 3 at nearly $3 million a year.
Where's DN on
Where's
that
this
list?
Where's this coming?
This is Business Insider. Business Insider. Number 4, women's basketball. Number 5, baseball.
Where's DN on that list?
I don't know where DN is on this list.
I bet you do, Charlie.
Oh, man. Your boy Jeffy on Twitter just ruined my setup for Seth Stokes. And just Stokes caught it because of your boy Jeffy on Twitter. I had a great one lined up for you.
The DN cross.
Oh, man. It was fantastic, man. Golly, what a buzzkill, Jeffy. All right, Swain and Vint. We'll be live at Alumni Hall tomorrow getting ready for the Alabama-Tennessee matchup. Hope you have a great Thursday, the best day of the week for Ben McKee and Charlie Burrs. I'm Jason Swain. Hope you have a great day. Peace and love.